This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And before we get to our guest tonight, well, I have some announcements to make, but first let me give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call in tonight. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. This is the toll-free number for anywhere in the United States in case somebody does want to call in. All right, but before we get to the guests, I do want to remind everybody that we are having our second transformation conference. It's coming up in June. This is the one that's put on by my company, Ozark Mountain Publishing. We had our first one last year, and it was very well attended, so we decided to do it again this year. It's the Transformation Conference. It's going to be the weekend of June the 16th and the 17th, which is a Saturday and Sunday, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at the Clarion Hotel. And this year, our keynote speaker is PMH Atwater. And I know a lot of people know her because she's very famous as the world's foremost expert on the near-death experiences. The books she's written about this are considered the Bible as far as the near-death investigators are concerned. She has done a tremendous amount of research. She's going to be lecturing on that and also her books dealing with the new children. And another very good speaker we're going to have at the conference is Carol Pate, who is the real psychic detective. She has been featured on the Psychic Detective show on Court TV, been on there about 8 times now, is turning into a regular. And she's the real thing. She has solved over 500 murder cases. She usually works on 2 murder cases a day. So this is the real thing. And she's also been on my show, so those of you that listen regularly know these names. But we got some really good speakers, and this is going to be June the 16th and the 17th, Saturday and Sunday. And if you go on my website, you'll find out more information about the prices and how you can sign up and everything about it. And the website is www.ozarkmountain, which is abbreviated, ozarkmt.com. You can find everything you need to know on our website. Okay. Now, our guest tonight is a new author that we have just published, and her books are just now getting ready to come off the press. We have really been working. We've tried to get 4 different books out at one time, and it's been a battle trying to get them all to the printers and trying to get them all out at the same time. But Deborah Rayburn has written the book called Let's Get Natural with Herbs, and it is what you would call the most comprehensive book ever written about herbs. That's why I decided to publish it. It's a huge book. Has absolutely everything anybody would want to know in this book. Okay, let me bring Deborah on here. We can talk to her and ask her lots of questions then. You're there, aren't you, Deborah?
Yes, I am here, Dolores.
Okay, Deborah. And how many years did it take you to write this book?
It's been about a 9-year process. The first 2 years were strictly research and putting the information together, but in total it was about a 9-year process.
Well, I was thinking, you are an herbalist, aren't you?
Yes, I'm an herbalist and a phytotherapist.
And this is your profession?
Yes.
And obviously your love, too.
Yes,
but it takes a lot. You have to really like what you're doing when you can put so much effort into something. But you spent many years going over this and compiling just about everything that could possibly anyone could want to know about herbs.
Yes, as much information as I could get into one volume.
And it is a big volume. This book is 9 by 11. It's dictionary size. And if you can't find something in there, I don't think it exists, really. this was really a job trying to edit it and put it together because there's so much information in that. But Deborah, before we get to the information about the herbs, tell us about yourself, your background.
Oh, sure. As I said, I am a phytotherapist with over 20 years' experience in the alternative health field. I am also a certified practitioner of various natural, non-invasive therapeutic modalities, including herbalism, aromatherapy, healing touch, and reflexology, or acupressure as some call it, as well as other wellness therapies of art, music, and color, all of which enhance the body's natural healing powers.
I've had people on the show who have specialized in these individual things, but it seems like you have taken them all on.
Yes.
And put them into one thing. But what did you do before that? You know, what made you decide you wanted to get into that field?
Well, I have always had an interest in medicinal plants and herbs since I've been a young adult, maybe back even into my childhood, going through the backyard and picking different flowers and different plants and then bringing them into the house, which drove my mother crazy at times, and looking them up, going to the library and checking out books and just looking all of these different plants up.
Uh-huh. Even when you were very young.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know what we would say about that in my work, you know, as a hypnotherapist in past lives, is that very likely you were involved in that in another lifetime.
Yes, yes, that's what many say, that I was a healer through several lifetimes, several past lives.
Because when something starts that young and there is a real passion about it, it usually is a bleed over because, you know, we don't ever forget anything we have ever learned down through any lifetime.
Yes.
It's just stored away in the subconscious.
Yes, absolutely.
So I wouldn't have been surprised that that's probably where it came from. And you've carried on with it then.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Uh-huh.
But, well, if you've been doing it 20 years, then were you doing studying into it before you went into it full time or what?
I did studying. I've been through the Rocky Mountain Institute of Alternative Health, and I also took some classes through the Indian Ayurvedic Society, which is Ayurvedic medicine, is the Eastern medicine of healing, of alternative healing.
See, I was just in India, New Delhi, just this last year, and I know that is very old over there. It goes way back.
Yes, very old, and with their alternative healing and medicine, they are extremely advanced. With their practice.
But anyway, you said you have been working on this for so long. What made you decide to write this book and to put all this together?
Well, initially, Dolores, I began writing this book as a reference guide for myself.
And yeah.
As a practitioner of herbal medicine, I needed a book that contained vast amounts of information in one volume, yet was user-friendly, was very easy to access the information, and basically had everything at your fingertips, was very easy to find. And after a good deal of exploration, looking at other books and things like that, I found the herbal books out there were extremely vague. The information in those books was, you know, very fuzzy or unclear, never giving the reader specifics as to the safe, proper use of medicinal herbs and plants.
Yeah.
So during my writing, I received an incredible amount of positive feedback from countless other herbalists, phytotherapists, others in the alternative health field who, like myself, were tired of having to wade through multiple books containing insufficient information. And so I decided to write Let's Get Natural with Herbs, not only for myself, but as a much-needed book that can be utilized by both the novice, someone who's just starting out with herbal therapy or herbal medicine, as well as the professional.
But I know when I've looked at a lot of herbal books, they're small, and they don't cover everything.
No,
mostly
they don't.
Just the highlights on, I guess, the most popular herbs or something like that. Is that what you found?
Yes, yes, yes. They're very, very vague.
Very limited.
Yes, in their information, and not getting into the important information or what I feel is very important when you're dealing with medicinal plants and herbs and things like that are the precautions and safety data and things of that nature.
Uh-huh. Of course, you know, I hear some people say, well, it's only an herb, it won't hurt you, but it's much more than that, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's important to remember that medicinal plants and herbs were the original drugs. All of the drugs used today in mainstream medicine or conventional medicine originally started out as an herb or medicinal plant.
Yes. This is what I have disagreements like with the pharmaceuticals, because up until, I guess, this early, not even this century, it was toward the middle of the century, it was still using natural medicines. It's when they went to the drugs and the pharmaceuticals that they began to try to dissuade people from using the natural things.
Right, right. And,
you know, when I was in India, they said, this is the natural medicine. The other, the pharmaceuticals, is not, because they talk about the alternatives.
Right.
That is the one that's just been brought in lately.
Yes.
And I think it's so funny when I watch TV and they're talking about different herbs that the FDA has not approved them, they've not been tested, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, yeah, it's only been around for 3,000 years, but it hasn't been tested enough.
Right. And sometimes it's important to know, too, that sometimes when the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration,
yeah,
pulls these herbs, medicinal plants, let's take, for example, ephedra.
Yes.
That should be a familiar herb with people. It was used for weight loss. A lot of people.
Yeah, I have a doctor friend who's told me about what happened with that one.
And used
he's into natural medicine. But
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
And what happened was a lot of these herbs and medicinal drugs that you know, some people don't realize, when they're pulled off of the shelf, they're not pulled off specifically because the herb itself is dangerous. 9 times out of 10, when these herbs and things are pulled off of the shelves, is because the FDA received a report that it was used incorrectly.
Yes, that's what this doctor friend has told me, that it was abused.
Yes, yes.
And that can happen with any medicine or any drug.
Oh, absolutely. And when people hear herbs and natural, they forget that because an herb or medicinal plant originally was the original drug that was used to create many of the synthetic drugs that are on the market now through the pharmaceutical companies, they forget that because it's natural, it can't hurt. I can take as much as I want and it won't hurt. But it's important to remember that even though it's a natural plant, it is an original drug, and if it has enough of an ingredient in there or properties to affect a change in your body,
mm-hmm.
too much of it can be dangerous.
Yes, it is powerful medicine.
Yes, you have to be very careful and know, you know, what you're putting into your body. It's important to research and educate yourself.
This is what I've been told too, that the pharmaceuticals took the natural and they turned it into synthetics so they could market it. But by turning it into a synthetic, it has lost a lot of its properties.
Yes. Yes. And what happens is it's important to know that how an herb really works and the ways in which these medicinal herbs affect a person's physiology or a person's body or system are as numerous as there are herbs themselves. And these effects from the herbs and medicinal plants are created by the presence of chemical constituents or an easier term to remember is active ingredients in the herbs.
Yeah.
And some of these botanicals contain constituents called phytoestrogens, which is the botanical equivalent to the human female hormone estrogen. So
yes.
Some of these plants that contain phytoestrogens, if you are at a high risk, if you are a person at a high risk for, say, an estrogen induced cancer, breast cancer, and as such, you want to be careful taking plants that contain that. Other herbs contain active ingredients that affect neurotransmitters, or those pathways that send messages to the brain.
Uh-huh.
And as we continue to study this link between chemical constituents and medicinal herbs and therapeutic activity, we learn that these medicinal herbs and plants contain many active compounds rather than one single ingredient creating the effect. And this discovery by the scientific community is by no means completely defined for each herb. And with each passing year, new ingredients are identified and attributed to each plant. So they don't just, you know, stick with one ingredient. These plants, there's so many different species of you know, similar plants that they vary, you know, slightly.
Yeah.
And unlike the pharmaceutical drug companies, who will take an herb and extract a single chemical constituent or active ingredient from this herb, and what they do is they synthesize it or synthetically reproduce it.
Yeah.
Which, when it's done this way, is unsafe and at great expense to the consumer's health due to the huge potential for dangerous side effects.
Yeah, that's what one thing, because with the drugs, they are very bad side effects.
Yes, yes. And
of course, they're doing it, and we're allowed to say anything we want on this show anyway, but they're doing it for profit because they can't make money on the natural herb, but by synthesizing it, turning it into something else,
exactly,
they can market it.
Oh, yes. And when you use the whole plant, which has many active compounds, And these compounds in the plant, all of these compounds work together harmoniously to produce the desired therapeutic effect. So the use of the whole plant helps to negate or offset any side effects that may occur from one particular constituent found in that plant. And it's important to remember that while a particular herb's chemical constituent or active ingredient may be considered unsafe when isolated and concentrated, like the pharmaceutical companies do. They'll pull out one active constituent or one chemical as part of the combination of complex elements in the whole herb. It's usually quite safe.
Mm.
And see, this is where we, the herbalists, the phytotherapists, the alternative health, have a tendency to knock heads with the pharmaceutical companies. They synthetically reproduce, at a marginal cost to them, a medicinal herb or plant's active ingredient. And this way, they, the pharmaceutical companies, can mass produce this synthetic ingredient into literally thousands of drug products, selling them, as we know, at exorbitant prices, complete with a whole host of potentially dangerous side effects.
Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, now we're finding out, you know, a lot of the drugs, years later, they're coming up and saying, well, now we're finding out that this is creating, you know, bad side effects in people, even can cause cancer, it can kill people, heart attacks, because they are Well, I've been told they're really experimenting on us anyway just to see, because they don't know how it's going to work.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And this has been told to me by people who work for the pharmaceuticals, so
yeah.
I get a lot of stuff from the horse's mouth. But because they are doing that, they're finding out it is hurting people more than it's helping them.
It is, and consequently, many research scientists now feel that in all herbal remedies, whether you make them yourself or you purchase them off the shelf, you know, in the tincture form or extract or a capsule or pill, however you purchase them or however you make them, they are saying now, they are coming to realize that it is preferable to have some of the whole plant parts included instead
yeah.
of completely, you know, synthesizing this product, this synthetic pill and things, because it helps to reduce, you know, the negative adverse reactions, the side effects that go along with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is why, you know, I have many, many clients that come to me as I'm a therapist, and I'm always trying to steer them toward the natural, the alternative, and the herbal, because I can see a lot of things that are being done by the drugs that they're on.
Right.
And, you know, many of them, are they told they need operations and all kinds of things. And actually, if they switch, it makes a big difference in their body.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it is good to remember that if you are on any kind of prescription medication, especially if you are taking this medication and it's, you know, basically a life threatening disease, it's very important, if you're thinking, and I can't stress this enough, if you are thinking of switching over to alternatives, herbal medicine, herbal therapy, that type of thing, if you are thinking of switching over to alternatives, it's very important to talk with your physician, talk with your licensed healthcare practitioner, to make sure that this is a safe thing to do in your state if you have...
But you know, a lot of the doctors don't want people to switch.
Right. So
they don't want to admit that maybe there is something different, but they're only doing what they've been taught. That's the thing.
Exactly. And it's important to maybe find a holistic medical doctor.
Yes.
Who is a little more versed or educated, you know, with the alternative aspect of it. But it's important to not just completely stop taking your prescription
yes.
medication. I want to stress that because when you switch over from prescription medication, which if you stop taking it, you know, you can have some very nasty side effects.
Yes, it has to take quite a while to get out of your system.
Right. Right, and you want to make this change gradually. You don't want to just stop taking your prescription and all of a sudden jump into
yeah, because it would be a shock to your system.
Yes, yes.
But there are doctors out there who are both. They are the medical doctors and the alternative, and they're doing both.
Yes, yes, there are. There are several around. Sometimes they're a little difficult to find. You have to dig a little bit, you know, to find them in your phone directory or in your city and things, but they are out there.
They're willing to work with both. But
yes.
That is true. Anytime a person has been on prescription medication for a long time, it builds up in their system.
Yes.
And
yes.
it must be weaned off of it.
Yes. You need to do that gradually. A lot of people take medicinal herbs and plants and things like that along with their prescription medications, and they find that because herbs help to strengthen your whole body, fortify and help brace your system, they also help to offset a lot of the negative effects or the side effects of the prescription medication.
Yeah. Well, I had one client that came to me that she was going to the doctors for many years, and they had her, sometimes they have you on 10 to 12 different medications.
Right.
And she was taking everything that they were giving her, And she went back to the doctor, and the doctor told her, you're going to die. And she said, why? And she said, because you've been over-medicated. And they admitted it. And she said, you mean I've been doing what you told me? I've been taking everything you were telling me to take, being a good little girl, and now you're telling me it's killing me? And they said, yes, that's true. Her kidneys were over Lasixed, everything, and they said, there's nothing we can do, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And at least they admitted it. But she said she went home, and she could hardly even walk, but she went on herbs, and she's alive today, and she's an herbalist.
Good for her, because a lot of the conventional medications, the mainstream medications that you get from your physician and things like that, they're very strong and they're very damaging, and they also have a tendency to build up in your liver.
Yes, the liver and the kidneys, but especially the liver.
Yes, and a lot of these medications don't flush out of your system.
They build up, don't they?
Yes, they build up. Herbs and medicinal plants, they work slowly. They work a little slower than conventional medicine, which is why some people get a little frustrated because, oh my gosh, you know, why isn't it working? It's taking a while.
Yeah, they want to go to the doctor and get a quick fix.
Right, right. Which, what happens with that is, and we know, the quick fix from the doctor covers up, takes care of the symptoms that you have, but it doesn't ever address the underlying problem.
But, you know, also I have pharmacist friends who tell me people come in there with 10 or 12 different medications and they don't realize the medications are interacting with each other and contradicting each other.
Yes, yes, that happens. That happens quite often. And you would think that, you know, the physicians and things and people like that would have a little better idea, you know, as to what, you know, is going to interact with.
That's what this pharmacist friend said. He said he would love to tell them you should not be taking this with that. And he would think the doctors would know better, but a lot of times, too, they're going to more than one doctor.
Right, exactly.
And interacting like
exactly.
that.
And that can be the case also, even though they're considered natural. That can also be the case with herbs, other supplements, vitamins, mineral supplements. If you take a daily vitamin tablet, and prescription drugs, sometimes these herbs are not safe to take with these other medications.
Yes, that's one thing I noticed in your book. You go into that a lot. What should not be taken with certain things?
Yes, yes.
Because there are interactions. You have a lot of the safeguards, don't
you? Absolutely, and I think that is the most important part of herbal medicine or herbal therapy, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
That is the most important part of that type of therapy, is to make sure that you are aware of any interactions that can possibly occur. And like I said, many individuals often take prescription drug medicines along with their herbal medicines or other supplementation. But
yeah.
When using herbs or supplements with prescription drugs, it is very important to be aware of interactions. If you're taking any form of prescription drug, it is important, and I think I stress this in my book too, it is important that you educate yourself to the possible herb, supplement, drug interactions that could occur. And again, it's very difficult to predict any adverse reactions that could occur with the combined use of herbs, other supplements, and drugs.
Uh-huh.
Medicinal plants and herbs, as well as the information in my book, Let's Get Natural with Herbs, is not meant to replace prescription drugs per se. Instead, their intention is to be used with them as an auxiliary or support when possible. And herbs and other supplements may help to extend the effects of prescription drugs, thus enabling lower dosages, as well as helping to soften any adverse reactions that are common with many prescription drugs. Now, on the flip side of this, conversely, some herbs may increase or decrease nutrient absorption, as well as prescription medications. Now, I have a good example. St. John's wort. I think a lot of people are familiar with that. St. John's wort.
What was the name?
St. John's wort. It's an herb that's quite popular for use as an antidepressant.
An antidepressant?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yes. Uh-huh.
But you're kind of fading away on me. Okay.
Now, St. John's wort may lessen the effectiveness of some prescription drugs for certain cancers, depression, heart disease, HIV, or seizure conditions. And also, if you are on an antidepressant prescription medication, it is not advisable to be taking the herb St. John's wort or lemon balm. Or Melissa, as it's called, which is another antidepressant medication.
I was thinking about St. John's wort.
Yes.
But it's not advisable? Is that what you said?
No, it's not advisable to take that herb if you are taking a prescription antidepressant medication because they will interact with each other.
So the person should be weaned off of the other
prior to starting any type of herbal therapy.
Or can you take, can you substitute them in like in smaller doses while you are weaning off of one?
No, it's not advisable to take that while you are on a prescription antidepressant.
Because they will interact
because
there
you
then.
Will, you can have a severe interaction.
Okay. You know, when you were speaking earlier about the components and everything, it sounds a lot like chemistry. You have to almost be a chemist to be an herbalist.
There is some pharmacognosy involved in it, yes.
So there's a lot to this, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot more than, what it looks to be on the surface.
Yeah, like somebody just going and picking up a book and saying, or going to a health food store and say, this is what you need to take. There's a lot more to it then.
Right, there is, and it's important to remember, too, when you go into a bookstore, whether you go into a main bookstore, a well-known bookstore, or if you're going into a lot of health food stores, now natural food stores,
yeah,
a selection of books, and it's important to remember that whether you're buying the book or you're buying a supplement off the shelf, and you have questions, it's important to remember that the person, the clerk, working in the store, is generally only a clerk.
That's what I was thinking.
They're not.
You ask questions, and a lot of times they don't know what it's used for.
Right. And there is so much information in books. You know, go to your local library.
Even the internet now, you can look everything up.
The internet is terrific. It's loaded with information. If you're thinking of taking a specific herb, you've heard of a specific herb for, you know, whatever ailment you happen to have.
Yeah.
Before you run out and buy it, do some research. You know, take charge of your health. You know, make sure you know what you're putting into your body. Get out there and do a little research on it. And make sure that it's right for you.
Because, you know, that's one thing. This one doctor said he wanted to get out of the mainstream with the drugs, he said, especially with the cancer, is that the only alternatives they have that they're taught is just chemotherapy and radiation.
Right.
And he said he knew that the chemo did not help people at all. So he wanted to get out of it because he said in the natural field there were over 200 things that could be taken for different cancers.
Yes, and chemotherapy is very, very hard on one's system and one's body, because we know that chemotherapy not only destroys the diseased cells, it also destroys the healthy cells.
That's what these doctors have told me, and they said they're required to prescribe it, but they know it's not really the answer.
Right, and severely weakens your immune system. So there are natural remedies. There are natural cures for every known disease that's out there.
Yep,
cancer,
that's what people have always said.
It's
everything in nature that you need. You just have to know what it is. But that it's like everything was put on the earth that we could possibly need.
Absolutely.
So we don't have to use these other things. So, but first you have to know what it is and how to use it and how to find it.
Right. That's why it's important to take charge of your health.
Uh-huh.
Know what you're putting into your body. And do some research.
That's why I try to encourage people, even with their diets and everything, to be very careful what goes into your body.
Yes, because...
To stay away from a lot of these things.
Yes,
But there are a lot of very bad side effects with these medicines, and where the doctors say, well, that's just the way it is, but I don't see any point in having to take that.
Right.
And put up with those side effects.
Absolutely. If there's a possible way that a person can find what they need and gradually make that switch to alternative medication, you are going to feel so much better, so much healthier. Because unlike conventional or mainstream medicine, which focuses primarily on treating the symptoms. Herbal medicine.
They are. They're just touching the symptoms without finding out. Well, what I work with is the cause, going back to why did you make yourself sick, you know?
Right. And herbal medicine addresses the whole person. It doesn't focus. It focuses not only on the symptoms, but on the underlying condition as well. And we know the effects of herbal medicine may not be noticed as rapidly as when using conventional drugs. And the reason for this is because botanicals, medicinal herbs and plants, work with the body, not against it, to strengthen, cleanse, and build those systems gradually. So when you use these medicines, these herbal medicines, you are often healthier. You have fewer recurring illnesses, and you tend to remain that way longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I go to a homeopath, so I'm very much into this.
Yes.
But I went the other route, and that's what I didn't like, and I found out there is other ways. And I suggest homeopaths and naturopaths, but then now I found there are traditional doctors who are also doing both anyway.
Right. And a lot of times, as I said, that the herbs are often used as an adjuvant to conventional medicine. And what this means for those that don't know what an adjuvant is that herbal remedies are used to complete or support conventional medicine. A good example would be ginger. Ginger is a terrific herb for just about anything you would want to take it for.
You know, a lot of people like to cook with it.
Yes, absolutely. And we all know that it works for nausea.
Oh.
A terrific herb to take in conjunction with your chemotherapy drugs. Because a lot of times you get the nausea, you get sick to your stomach, you're not feeling well.
It's better not to take the chemo at all, but...
Right. Ginger will help.
If you had to, this would help, wouldn't it?
Ginger will help to offset the ill effects from that.
Uh-huh. Well, I had one client that came to see me who was an emergency room doctor, and she said whenever she had people coming in with heart attacks, she would give them magnesium in the IV, and it would stop the heart attack.
Uh-huh.
And then the other doctors would say, what are you doing? You know, you're supposed to give them all these drugs. But she said, why? This works immediately and there's no side effects.
Right. Another remedy that works, and of course, again, you know, make sure you get that person to the hospital if they are suffering a heart attack. My mother suffered a major, massive heart attack 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Along with a mild stroke. She had a second heart attack while I was visiting a year ago. A second heart attack that came on. I gave her a tiny pinch of cayenne pepper in the mouth.
Yeah.
And that was enough to quell that heart attack, to kind of stave that off enough to calm her down, to get her into the hospital.
Well, that's the same they say. If you can even take magnesium in a tablet form and just chew it up in your mouth if something was happening.
Yes. So there are so many.
It
so
is,
many
but it calms
remedies.
The nerves and calms the muscles. But there's so much of this that people don't know. There's a lot of natural remedies with high blood pressure. In my work, we try to get the people to change their lifestyles, too.
Right.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Lifestyle change is a big...
Stress is one of the major causes of illnesses. And look at our world today. We have stress around us constantly.
Exactly. And supplements, if you're taking a daily vitamin supplement, which I recommend, you make sure that you have all of your B vitamins in there.
Yeah.
It's so good for your nervous system and things like that. But it's important to remember that supplements are just that. They're supplementary. They help to strengthen and build up your system. And it's important, like you said, the lifestyle changes, diet, exercise, fresh air, you know, plenty of fresh, clean water.
Water is very important.
All help.
We've gotten over so much onto the Coke products and, you know, and the all that and the caffeine, but the water is the most important thing.
Water is very important. The soda products are so bad. They are so bad. If you're going to drink a soda, the best soda that you can drink that will not damage your tooth enamel, will not be hard on your system inside, is root beer. That is the best.
Is which one?
Is root beer.
Because even the diet products, you know, the diet soda pops have that aspartame in there, which is not good for you.
Aspartame is not good. No. And a lot of these chemicals, the ingredients that are put into these soft drink products, and even the foods nowadays, there is such I guess they call it epidemic with the obesity problem.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's it, because there is so much. I try to steer people toward organic, but, you know, it's getting harder to find. But it's insecticides that we put on the vegetables, and look at all the antibiotics and the growth products that are into the meats. And we are seeing the effects in the children.
It's terrible. Well, obesity is really becoming an issue with the children.
Yeah.
And what some research scientists are finding out is a lot of these chemical additives in the beverage products and in the food products are actually responsible for this obesity.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one thing I've noticed is how tall and lanky the teenagers have gotten. It's been over several years now.
Yes, that's because
it doesn't look natural.
No, and a lot of that is they're hitting puberty earlier.
Yes, they are.
A lot of that is coming from not only the food supply. There are so many hormone-laden feed that are being fed to the cattle. Etc., which is, of course, when you consume things like that, it gets passed into your system, affecting the children, causing them to...
Well, one thing that hit home with me when I was in China, I was in Hong Kong and Singapore, and these Chinese friends have brought me over there, we would be in the mall and everything. Oh, you see these big, tall, lanky Chinese teenagers walking around with their little short parents, looking just like the ones we have in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked their this friend, I said, what is that, mixed blood? They said, no, it's American food.
Yes.
They said, now they've got the McDonald's and the Kentucky Fried Chicken, everything in Hong Kong and Singapore. They said if they had stayed with their natural, normal diet, the rice and everything, they would not have grown like that.
Yeah, they've become
very healthy. Obvious. But then I had a question. I wondered, is that just affecting this generation, or is that going to be carried down in the genes to their children?
And my beliefs are, I do believe that is going to be carried through the genes, because when this chemical or additives or what have you is affecting your children as they're growing up and causing them, like I said, to reach puberty earlier and to develop earlier and things like that, that's going to stay. It's going to basically integrate into their DNA, I believe.
That's what I was wondering about,
and
because when you see this occurring everywhere, you know it's, they all say, well, it's you're imagining it. No, I see it everywhere. It has to do with the food these kids are eating.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's affecting them both ways, making them obese and also making them too tall.
There are so many additives in the food, and some of these additives actually make you crave more.
Yeah.
The diet soft drinks are very bad for that. There is a specific, no, I can't name the name, but there is a specific potato chip that says, you know, no one can eat just one.
Mm-hmm. That's what the commercials say.
A lot of us are familiar with that, and when you stop and think about it, it's true. And why is that? Because these additives are put into the food that makes you crave more food, so you eat more. What happens when you eat more and you're not exercising and doing what you need to do, you're going to gain weight.
Well, see, that's one thing I noticed. For years and years, most of my life, I was a Pepsi-holic. You know, I would just drink Pepsi. I never drank water at all.
Uh-huh.
And when I switched off of that, it was very difficult. And you do have withdrawal symptoms.
You do.
You know, the headaches and everything that goes along with it. But now, I've been off of it now for about maybe 4 years, and I drink just water. I have no cravings for sweet stuff anymore at all.
Right, and it's actually quite frightening when you think about it, that, my gosh, you know, I was addicted to a soft drink, or I was addicted to my favorite sandwich from the fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm. But whenever you begin having the withdrawal symptoms, you know it's something definitely happening with your body.
Right, that there's something wrong in your body. There's something in that product that your body is craving.
Uh-huh.
So
Before, I wanted the Danish and the donuts, everything sweet, but now I don't want anything sweet. So I think that was what turned it off, once you get that out of your system.
Yes, and sugar, if you can at all possibly substitute your sweetener, not with synthetic sweetener like the saccharins and things like that. If you can substitute your sweetener, say if you use a teaspoon of, you know, the white granulated sugar in your cup of tea.
Well, I use stevia.
Stevia is excellent, or honey.
I use that also. Because it really tastes just as sweet, and there's no problem with it at all.
Yes, and you don't have to use as much of it either.
No, you don't. Just one of those little packets is the equivalent of a lot of sugar.
Yes, because sugar, one teaspoon of sugar will shut down your immune system for anywhere from 3 to 6 hours. Your immune system is completely shut down.
Hmm.
And how much sugar do we consume every day in products that we don't even think about it?
No. We just get used to it.
Right. Yeah. Stevia is wonderful.
But this is what I try to educate people in this way, and I've had doctors come on the show, too, who are showing there is a lot more going on than people think. I have one client that I'm going to bring on in the future who is, there are doctors that have gone over to the alternative. He claims they have found a way to cure autism if they can get the child before they're 6 or 7 years old. And a lot of it does go back to diet.
A lot of it goes back to diet. And some of it now that they're finding, I just read an article the other day in one of the medical journals. Some of this problems with the autism is pointing back, and this is probably a topic for a whole nother show here, but a lot of this is pointing back to childhood vaccinations, the measles,
yes,
mumps, and
rubella. I was going to bring that up because this is what the doctors told me.
Yes.
They said there's things in those vaccinations, and even they said do not take the flu shot. They said there's embalming fluid in the flu shot. There's things in those vaccinations and shots you do not want in your body.
Some extremely.
They're not the shots we used to take when we were kids.
No, they're not. They're different. They've changed things. And they
say, and then they talk about an epidemic of autism. What is it? One out of eight or nine children.
One out of eight.
I don't remember the exact. Maybe that's the figures for the diabetes. But still, it has gone way out of proportion. And the doctors keep saying, no, it is not the vaccinations and the shots. But it is, because I've heard it from experts that have proved it. They just don't want people to know about it.
No, a lot of these diseases sometimes point back to these childhood vaccinations.
Yeah, I've also found, too, if you don't want your child to have vaccinations to go to school, they don't have to have it. There are rules and regulations. If you know your rights, you don't have to have your kid have the shots to go to school.
Yes, there are exceptions to that, yes.
One of them is just a moral exception. It doesn't have to be medical or religious.
Nope, that's right.
Yeah. All you have to do is tell the school, I know my rights, and my kid can go to school without the shots.
Mm-hmm.
We have to become educated, I guess, with these things.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. It's so important to know, you know, what is going on. And
we give our power away. We give our rights away instead of thinking for ourselves. That there's so much out there, and so I'm a real advocate of the herbal remedies, and that's why I wanted to publish your book.
It is.
But, see, we're coming up to have a few more minutes here, but in the book you go into just about all the herbs I think there are on Earth,
yes,
and all of their, what they can be used for, and the contraindications, too, isn't it, what they should not be used with?
Yes. My book is, it's like three or four books rolled into one.
Yeah.
It tells you which herbs and other nutritional supplements can reduce the side effects of prescription drugs or over-the-counter medications.
Yeah.
Which ones can potentially enhance their effectiveness. It lists precautions that are also given on which combinations of herbs, drugs, or other nutritional supplements should never be taken together. It includes information on more than 400 botanicals, ranging from well-known herbs such as chamomile and ginseng, to less familiar herbs such as kava and muripoama.
Yeah.
It contains numerous therapeutic conditions, ranging from abscess to yeast infection, and the herbal formulas that you can use to remedy those. It utilizes herbal remedies that enhance the body's ability to heal itself.
And in the book, you give actual formulas, don't you, that people could make things for themselves?
Yes, I have a huge section in my book that lists the formulas to take for so many conditions, from, like I said, from abscess, if you have a boil or abscess, to cancer, to liver problems. And the wonderful thing is these formulas are safe, non-invasive therapies, that are proving to be more powerful than the often harmful drugs and surgeries that compromise the modern medicines of today.
Uh-huh.
It helps you, assures you on safe, practical
okay.
use of medicinal
Well, we're coming up to the to time to stop. If people want to contact you, how can they do that?
I don't have a website at this time. That is forthcoming.
Yeah.
But they can go through you, Dolores.
You are a company?
Yes. If they want to, you know, send a letter or mail or something like that.
And we can forward it to you then.
And you could forward that to me, yes.
Okay. And through our website is OzarkMountain.com, OzarkMT.com. And, of course, we have our 800 number, 1-800-935-0045. And the name of the book is Let's Get Natural with Herbs, and it's just about to come off of the press. You can find it on our website, or you can contact your bookstores, because it will be in there pretty soon, and they can order it, or through Amazon. But it's just about to hit the stores. And it'll be the comprehensive encyclopedia, really, of herbs. Okay, Deborah, we're going to have to sign off, and I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Dolores. It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Okay. And we got to go now, but good night, everybody.